listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen, Empowered Communication, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to the Empowered Communication call-in radio show. My name's Sue Wagner. I'm Dr. Pat Allen's daughter, and we'll be available tonight to take your call-in for relationship questions and issues. The call-in number for the show will be 323-203-0815. Again, 323-203-0815. Before we start the show, I want to tell you a little bit about our sponsor, the WAN Institute. Dr. Allen started the WAN Institute over 50 years ago to help men and women learn to express their wants and not wants with integrity and honesty, and to recognize and avoid the damaging ploys of intimidation and seduction. Some of the things Dr. Pat Allen teaches is about male-female relationships have often been called politically incorrect, but they are scientifically accurate and they work. The WAN Institute currently offers providers, facilitators that offer monthly ladies' groups and men's groups and private sessions that will educate you with techniques for how to begin, build, and maintain lasting, loving relationships. The facilitators will introduce you to basic communication skills using the techniques of WANT training as developed by Dr. Pat Allen. If you want more information regarding the WANT Institute services, you can reach me at the office at 949-723-0338, or you can send me an email at info@drpatallen.com, info@drpatallen.com. Tonight we have myself, and we also have another coach taught by Dr. Pat Allen, Andy Shaw, to answer your relationship questions. And again, the call-in number is 323-203-0815. Andy, do you want to pop in and say hello to the audience?
Hello, audience.
Hi. If you can't call in live for your questions answered, you can always email me at the office, and I'll read your question online. And we'll answer it, and you can go into the archives and hear the question and answers to the questions you asked. So, Andy, is there anything you want to talk about? I have a couple of people that emailed me some questions.
Let's go to that.
Okay. The one thing I like about Andy is we get my perspective and we get a male's perspective. So I want to tell you, Andy's doing his best to start up a men's group. To help men guide them with dating using the Dr. Pat Allen tools and techniques. And I currently offer women's ladies groups that I conduct weekly. If you want more information, we're starting up another group in September. So please feel free to email me for information. My classes do fill up fast, and I do offer private sessions. And Andy offers private sessions as well if you want to learn the Dr. Pat Allen way of getting into a healthy relationship. We offer plenty of services. Do you want to add anything else about Dr. Allen's services on how it can help build, build, maintain lasting, loving relationships? How would you phrase that? How does Dr. Allen's tools work?
Well, they work for your immediate, your intimate relationship, your work relationship, your friendships, your any relationship at all that you have with another human being on the planet. They all help.
That's true. And we have the tools and the skills to teach you that. So I have a caller that called. She didn't call in. She wrote in. She says, it says she wants to be genuine and also stroke. This is a caller. She had one more thing. She wants to be genuine and also stroke the man's egos. But she goes to another coach. Rory Ray mentioned that I should show up as myself and find myself who I am authentically. Nevertheless, when I tell a guy I like them or let them do whatever they want and don't put boundaries, I feel some guys feel they don't have to pursue because they got the girl. You want to help her with that? The thing that caught me is I like that she says, when I tell the guys I like them, but then she says, she lets them do whatever they want and doesn't hold up boundaries. That might be the problem I hear.
That's what I was thinking too. An unhealthy person.
Yeah. So if you were to guide this person, what would you tell them?
I would want them to go through that relationship contract by themselves.
Okay.
And write down their wants and not wants, depending on whether they're the masculine or feminine energy.
Uh-huh.
And I would love to walk them through it and see if they have anything that's a deal breaker and start throwing scenarios at her. Because no boundaries seems impossible to me and highly unlikely.
Well, yeah, maybe. Well, maybe this person, when she says she gives them everything with no boundaries, that might be a red flag that she's being the doormat. So, of course, they won't pursue you anymore. There's nothing to pursue you. There's no interaction of masculine and feminine. The men want to compete, control, and conquer.
And, yeah, which they've done once they get you.
Yes. So, but then again, I'm also hearing she wants to be her authentic self, but we want to present ourselves as the best self, not go in there and tell them all of our blemishes. You want them to see the best version of you, and then they'll see the version of some of your authentic quirks, and then they'll decide if they want to be around that or not. We always put our best foot forward, and sometimes that's hard. A lot of people, they go in and they say stupid things, and first impressions or lasting impressions.
Yeah, I mean, you know, she might be talking about putting frog parts on the board because she's interested in biology or something. Like, that's great, but probably not first date material. I don't know what's driving her or driving other people away. Like, I think it'd be really interesting to go through the scenario. And
from what I hear from a lot of women, it still goes back to the same thing, is that they have chemistry with the avoidant, unavailable guy, and then the nice guy that wants to date them and wants to have boyfriend and girlfriend and marry them, they want nothing to do with them. They're too boring. So they keep chasing the unavailable man, wanting to know how they can get him. What would you tell a woman like that? What would you do?
Desensitize.
That's what I usually tell them, that you have, you know, Dr. Pat used to say, you have to go out with the boring guys till you get comfortable. Because we remember when Dr. Pat said you pick a little bit of what you mom and a little bit of dad. So whatever you had growing up is how you see relationships. And if you were in a chaotic relationship where dad was always gone, mom was always fighting, that's what you think is a good relationship. That's what your body sees as familiar. So you find that in people, and it keeps the cycle going, and that could be more damaging, because I have women that are in their 40s that still pick men apart, and like Dr. Allen says, hopefully one day they'll learn.
I wonder if you know, we all do things unconsciously.
Yeah, that is it. Yes.
And we do them because they helped us survive.
That's exactly it. You're right. You got it. You hit it on the nail. But remember, she says that in order to, where's my notebook? You have to be aware.
Awareness first, and then assimilate, and then actualize.
Yes. So if you know you're doing things, because most of these people do know what they're doing. I had one lady, she's trying to learn Dr. Allen's tools. She does the first two, but she can't do the third. And she goes, how can you do the third? And I said, well, take a little micro sheet and write it down and have a cheat sheet. And she's like, but I always forget. I go, well, one day if you pull that out and you work through it, you may get it. And she refuses to do it. She just continues to forget the bottom part, which repels men. And then it's like she's doing the same thing over and over, expecting a different result, with the excuse of, I can't do the last step.
Which steps does she remember?
Stroke and stand. She only does the stroke and the stand, but then she doesn't negotiate the bottom part.
The contract.
Yeah. The stroke and stand. When she wants to, she knows how to do the stroke and then she knows how to do the stand, but she doesn't kind of know how to go in and do the contract or basically the cleanup to negotiate a win-win.
So, sorry, I'm looking at the communication manual.
Yeah.
Just for our audience to remind them.
You know what I want you to go over, Andy? This was a big thing in the group last night. The amigo talk. I guess the way it's written on the contract, they think the amigo talk is the whole thing. But I think it's categorized in different subjects. What I know the amigo talk is, it's kind of like a friendship talk between you and your partner. Checking in on how your day is.
So I have it in front of me. Okay. We'll go with the yin, right lobe, cherished one. Saying they're two things. What do you think or want? And what can I do to help you do it? That's it. And the yang one, which is, you know, your masculine women and men, how do you feel or what do you not want? And then what can I do to help you feel better? That's it.
Yeah. You know what? I've been using this ChatGPT. Do you want me to tell you what it comes up with?
Sure.
I actually punched in Dr. Pat Allen's amigo talk, and this is what it comes up. When Dr. Pat Allen says amigo talk, she's talking about a communication style where two people are relating as equals and buddies instead of a romantic partners with masculine and feminine polarity. Here's the breakdown. Amigo talk equals friendship mode. You talk like pals, roommates, coworkers, or siblings. There's no chemistry or romantic tension. You're being logical, neutral, and not leaning into masculine or feminine energy. And it says lovers talk equals romantic mode. You speak from masculine to feminine or feminine to masculine. This creates attraction and polarity. For example, a woman in feminine energy might say, I feel so good when you call me. That's a feeling-based, receptive. A man in masculine energy might say, I want to see you Saturday night at 7. That's direct decision-based. Dr. Pat Allen often warns women, if you slip into amigo talk with a man you're dating, you risk becoming just friends instead of building a attraction. So basically the amigo talk, what I was teaching my ladies, is if you're the feminine and you want to talk to your masculine man, you might say something like, honey, what do you think about watching Jeopardy tonight? And then he may say, great. Or the masculine man, if he knows Dr. Allen's tools, he might say, honey, how do you feel about watching Jeopardy today? It's without having to go through all of the stroke and stand to get permission to talk or that. It's kind of like buddy talk, but does that make sense here? I like the terminology on the chat. GPT.
Yeah, I mean, Dr. Pat's work is largely for bad days.
Yeah, yeah.
If you don't have bad days, you don't need the stroke and stand. You don't need the five-stroke unit. You don't need validation because you're communicating. Well,
yeah, see, some people, they don't know how to talk to their partner. And just, you know, they're so tense. They don't know how to just do simple chatting. But she always says when you're the feminine, you always ask him what he thinks, not what he feels, his thoughts or what he wants. You always pull on his thoughts. And if a man is listening to this, he always asks the woman that he cherishes, the feminine, how she feels. Because we women are feeling based and men are logic based. So even in amigo talk, you still keep your roles separate. But you don't have to keep them so defined that you're in your feminine all the time and he's in the masculine. So,
yeah, it's supposed to be a balance. It's supposed to be a waltz, right? Not the disco, not the slam dance.
Yeah, it's all true.
Everyone's going to go into both at some point in time.
Yes.
But you're usually in one most of the time. 51% at least, right?
Yes.
And then, you know, if I bonk my head and I'm really hurting, you know, how I feel might be very important at that moment because it's kind of critical to health, right?
Yes.
So, I mean, accidents happen. I think the part of the problem I always had, at least initially learning this stuff.
Yes, what?
Is feeling like I would never go into a feminine mode, but during most of my day, I it's not my usual mode of operation.
Yeah.
But there are legitimate real world moments that I do transition over to that because it's an important aspect of your life.
Yes.
So,
but yeah, that's when you, if you and your partner practice this, then that might look like, hey, honey, I just want to sit back and relax. I don't want to have to do any thinking or actions. Are you okay with that? That would be a negotiation. Wouldn't
yeah.
it? Yeah.
I mean, you can start with that. I think there's assumptions built into that statement.
Okay.
That are not readily available if you haven't already communicated.
Okay.
So, I mean, it might be good for like watching a movie or.
Yeah. So if you were a man and you wanted to just chill out or not have to think logic and just relax, how would you signal your partner in her feminine that you want to be feminine as well?
Exactly what you said. I just want to veg out. I just want to enjoy this for a moment because this is, I'm enjoying my feelings.
Yes, yes.
I'm enjoying my body. I'm enjoying my existence.
Yeah.
And then when the movie's over or when the event's over, we can re-engage.
Yeah.
Or unless something comes up that needs to be addressed.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Most of us don't use these words in everyday life.
I know. That's what comes across so difficult. And let me ask you something. Like, let me give you an example, your suggestion. Some lady wanted to use a stroke and stand because the man was ghosting her. He was kind of giving her the silent treatment. And she wanted to talk about it. She wanted to get him on board why he was doing it. And she wanted him to stop doing it. So she wanted to use the strokes and stands for that. I told her, I don't think we can change people's behavior. That's not what the stroke and stand is. She could talk about how uncomfortable it is, but it isn't to change a person's behavior. What would you say to her? Because she didn't like him ghosting her, but he has every right to pull away. She didn't like it, so she wanted him to come back and talk about it.
Yeah, I mean, I get it. I agree. Yeah. These are also your boundaries. These are also what you'll accept and reject.
Yeah, that's what I said. This is part of the accepting or rejecting him or tolerating him. But
yeah,
it
is a time for practice and using the communication skills.
Yeah.
Especially when you don't know, you're not sure if they care about you. Like those are perfect times to go, you know what, I'm just going to work on me. And you say the words, and if they respond in a way that's favorable, then, you know, kudos, right? Two thumbs up.
Yeah.
Move forward.
Yeah.
But you mentioned something about why he does something. Remember, why is an emotional word.
She wanted to have a she wanted to use the tools to have a conversation to get him on board as to not doing that behavior. And I said, I don't think that's what the tools are supposed to be to change a person's behavior.
Well, I think the use of the word why has me stuck.
Yeah.
Because it's a defending, it's a subjective question for objective end. You're defending your thoughts.
Yeah.
So instead of saying why, maybe say what's the reasons.
Yes. Okay.
That'll be the rational question.
Yeah.
I mean, why is because he wants to and because he can. And that's a legitimate answer, although very useless.
Yeah.
But it might be a different question, a different conversation to say, you know, what are the reasons that you're not talking to me?
Yeah.
If you want to share. And if you don't want to share, that's cool. But if you don't want to share, I'm not going to pursue this with you anymore until you do some X or Y, right?
Or else I said do the validation one where she could say, I sense that something's upsetting you. Am I right? Because obviously if he's pulled away, she senses it. That may pull him back to, and he may come back. Yeah, blah, 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 blah. And then that might start a conversation.
Yeah, that's a perfect one to flush somebody, the nonverbal.
Yeah, that's true. I think so many people were so focused on them and what they're doing to get them in line so we feel more comfortable. That seems to be the majority of the relationship problems. If I can just get him to be on board so I can feel comfortable. But I always say you have to be comfortable with yourself and then do your best to negotiate with your partner because they're so worried on mothering, but they're actually going in there and mothering when they're trying to get him to do things that they want.
Yeah, my theory is if you're focused on them, you've kind of already lost the battle.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah.
Because, you know, one of the things that I've read in there and Dr. Pat talks about was once you get enough of this in you, it's more of a laissez-faire attitude.
Yes.
What will happen.
Yes.
You know, say I'm dating somebody and they are trying to date someone, they're ghosting me. Like, hey, cool. You know, if you want to be here, be here. If you don't, go ahead and leave. Or if you don't want to talk about it, I'm just going to say no thank you and have a nice life.
Yeah, because what they're showing you is who they are. We can't go in and try to negotiate a change in them. That's where people don't like hearing. Accept him the way he is, reject him and move on, or tolerate. Well, I don't want to just dump him. I just want him to not do this, 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 and this. I go, but that's him, and he has a right to do this, 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 and this.
Yeah, I talked about my friend before, and he hates that word. He has a right to do it.
Everybody hates that. He has a right to do it.
I don't like it. I know, but it doesn't matter. He has a right to do it.
I get women that says, oh, he's calling me lazy and names. I go, well, she goes, he can't do that. He has to stop doing that. I go, unfortunately, he has a right to do that. He can do anything he wants. You're lucky he's just calling you names. And they go, what do you mean? If he loved me, he wouldn't call me names. I go, you're seeing who he really is. And this is a chance where you can accept him for all of his blemishes, calling you names, reject him and move on, or tolerate is what you're doing now, half accepting, half rejecting, trying to get him to change. And as you know, nobody wants, you know, we don't change by somebody telling us to. That puts us a rebel. Nobody wants to be told, you have to do it this way. What's the first thing we do? We rebel.
Exactly.
That's kind of a human nature thing. Nobody wants, unless you're getting paid for it or something, and even then you're snarling, I don't want to do this. Yeah.
Yeah, I was talking to my friend not too long ago and told him I was surprised about something. He goes, well, don't be.
What?
I said, well, I'm going to be anyways. Thank you very much. And he's like, oh, yeah, okay, you do what you want, but I don't think it's necessary. Like, okay, thank you. That's a better answer.
Oh, okay.
So
At work. I was going to say, at work, do you ever have conflicts with your boss, and do you use the tools?
I use the tools all the time.
Okay.
And if for anybody who's open, they work.
Yes.
For anybody who is already dead set against being, uncooperative.
Yes.
They work for me to stay healthy. I don't care about them anymore because I'm just doing what I need to do. But no matter what, they work. They've always worked.
Okay.
Even in the worst situations, because of the worst situation, you have a right to do this. But if you keep doing it, I'm going to leave.
Yes.
Do you want me to stay or do I want to leave?
Yes.
And I think some of the people want an emotional reaction, which I don't give them.
Yes.
And then they get bored and go, okay, well, they're going to do X, Y, or Z. But for me, the tools work because it still maintains a healthier environment.
It does.
From my end, until I can no longer accept it and have to leave.
Yes. A lady asked a question. She finds herself getting grumpy and angry, and she wants to know how she can get herself out of being grumpy and angry. And I gave her a short video about what you think about comes about. You know, so when you're training, when you keep staying in this grumpiness, you're just rewiring your brain to be grumpy, venting, and negative. You got to train your brain to shift out of it. And she didn't like that answer. I even sent her the video. She just says, that just helps you to stop venting. I go, well, that's what you asked me to do. She goes, no, I want to something that's tangible that when she gets that she can do. What other ways? I told her to do the rubber band on her wrist and snap it every time she gets angry as a reminder. But tell me, what other things could she do if she catches herself in an angry or a frustrated or negative mood? What could somebody do?
Well, I personally like my self-talk.
Okay, so, and what's that?
I tried the rubber band, but it hurts, and I don't like it.
Okay.
But I do like when I'm frustrated, there's, you know, the words in on the one and two, right? The Lowers and Drivers.
Yeah.
I think about those. What, and to remind the audience.
I had the book. Yeah. Do you have the drivers?
I'm going to bring it up right now.
Because you're right. I mean, a lot of people get into negative, and if you stay in negative over and over, you rewire your brain to focus only in negative. I will always, when you get a negative, do your best to think positive and try your best to get out of it.
Yeah, so I think of the curses. So the drivers are things that'll kill you, or, you know, make you have cancer, which is be perfect, try harder, hurry up, please others first, and be strong. And when I get frustrated, I remember the allowers, which is allow you to stay sane and stay healthy, which is instead of being perfect, be excellent.
Yeah.
Instead of, and excellent is 99%, 90%, it's 80%. Whatever it is that you can do now is your level of excellence.
Yes.
I mean, I don't care if it's 10%, it's still better than zero.
Yes.
And then hurry up, instead of hurry up, it's work easy. Instead of please others first, it's pleasing myself first.
Yes.
And then instead of be strong, it's be open. Open to new things, be teachable, just have a conversation. If you're strong, that means you're also doing things to be in control.
Yes, that's true. Anyway, I don't want to cut you off, but it's the last Thursday of the month, and we're going to do a new thing where we're going to play a Dr. Pat Allen audio. And this week we picked the first tape from Lifetime of Love, and it is the masculine feminine energy, which is I've listened to it numerous times. It's a great, great recording. So we're going to end the show with that. And Sam will take it away and put on the Lifetime of Love. I want to thank you, Andy, for joining us.
Thank you, Sue. Thank you, audience.
Okay. I'll wait on a minute till he gets connected to the recording on.
Ventura Media Group is pleased to present Dr. Pat Allen's series of audio tapes, A Lifetime of Love. Dr. Allen designed this 10-tape series to provide the listener with basic tools and skills with which to build a successful relationship. Tape 1 is an introduction to male and female energies.
Hello, this is Dr. Pat Allen. I am a marriage, family, child counselor in the state of California. I've been in this business over 20 years. I love the work of Carl Jung. I like Sigmund Freud, but the way I got my Sigmund Freud is by becoming a certified clinical transactional analyst. Eric Byrne in the 60s took Sigmund Freud's work and put it in simpler terms, parent, adult, child. Those circles you see sometimes stacked on each other like snowman. I, however, combine Eric Byrne, who combined Sigmund Freud, with Carl Jung. The idea that everyone is a complex human being and that we have to get in touch with ourselves more than we have to deal with other people. If you're not in touch with you, if you're not honest with you, you can't communicate to anyone. On this tape, I'm going to be dealing with masculine and feminine energies, Carl Jung's idea of duality. In Carl Jung's frame of reference, every man had an anima, which is his feminine side, and every woman had a masculine side called the animus. Now, what exactly is an anima quality? A feminine quality, whether it's in a man's body or a woman's, is the ability to receive, be available to receive, and to respect the other person's giving, protecting, and cherishing. The animus in a woman is that masculine energy, the ability to give, to protect, and to cherish. Mothers have it, masculine women have it, and so in today's world, everybody is both male and female. Now, where does this come from? I mean, Carl Jung's idea about duality is fine, but what does it look like in a human body? Roger Sperry and all the scientists afterwards have been talking about the brain differences between the right and the left-handed man and woman. The left lobe, we know now, is a very A, B, C, D, E lobe. The right lobe is an A, Z, A, P. It floats. It has more to do with feelings and relationships, which is a very feminine process. The left lobe wants to get the job done. Very logical. Now, right-handed men with a smaller bridge between the two lobes, called the corpus callosum, generally do better in one lobe at a time. He's in his left lobe logic, or he's in his feeling, make love, right lobe. We women and left-handed men, because we have a larger bridge between the two lobes, we mix our thoughts and feelings, and right-handed men often say, we're a little out of it. AZ is a bit of a jump. So, if you think of Carl Jung's idea of duality as not only a spiritual entity within, spiritual meaning love, an ability to love, but also a physical situation that we're studying, you will understand that everyone is both right and left lobed, both thinking and feeling. Everyone's ambisexual today. Every male body also has a soul that is feminine, called the anima. The anima is that ability in a man to receive, to be available to receive, and to respect another person's right to give, protect, and cherish him. Some men are so macho, they cannot get in touch with their feminine. On the other hand, every woman in a female body has the ability to also have a strong side of her. That ambisexuality within her is the animus. The animus is the ability to say no. I always say that the animus in a woman is either an anchor to take care of her, a shovel to take care of them, or a claw to tear people apart outside of herself. So in today's world, we all are ambisexual if we're healthy, because today real health is narcissistic health. Narcissistic health is normal for single people. A basketball player cannot be narcissistic, but a golfer can. A singles tennis player can be narcissistic, but a doubles player cannot. So narcissism is not all bad. People need to be narcissistic, especially if they're single. We need to think our way through our financial problems, and we need to enjoy our lives and know how to get in touch with those playful parts of ourselves. It is extremely abnormal to be in a relationship and be narcissistic. A man who's a macho cannot be with a true, fully evolved woman. Women's Lib has helped women get in touch with their animus at work. It's having difficulty after work that's the problem that I'm dealing with. But at work, the animus is that part of a woman that anchors her so that she is not codependent. In the old days, men and women were separated by church, by culture, by edict. Men were men and women were women. Not so. Today, everyone is a man, everyone is a woman, everyone has a brain to make a living, and everyone has a feeling heart that they have to put together if they want to be in a relationship. In a relationship in which two people with four energy systems, masculine and feminine, must come together without collision, intimacy is the goal. How do we avoid intimacy inadvertently, and how do we achieve intimacy? That is the point I want to deal with now. First of all, I'm going to say something that may inflame you. Equality works at work, but not after work. In the world today, there are no feminine energy systems at work. No one shall be treated according to their sex or their sexuality. That's becoming the law. Everyone is respectable, masculine, performance-oriented at work. And because of that, too many people take that attitude of everybody's equal at work, especially since Women's Lib, takes that idea to after work when you're attempting to have a relationship or date, and that's where the problem comes in. Equality is good at work, but it's not good in a relationship. For a good, intimate relationship, you know how to do non-intimate relationships because you're listening and reading to these books and tapes and workbooks, and if you had a good intimacy, you wouldn't. So I'm going to teach you about how to be intimate. Number one, if you're a 10 and you want a person to be intimate with you, you'll have to deal with somebody who's a 0. 10s are perfect people. Their ideas are respectable. Their feelings are cherishable. And they really don't have the ability to empathize. In the very best relationship, I want somebody to take special responsibility for being a respectable person and the other a cherishable person. I need a 5 and a 5 to make a 10 relationship. To further explain this idea of a 10 going with a 0 or 2 5s, I often say that a perfect 10 person, you know, the person who is so narcissistically evolved, whether he's on a team or she's on a team or whether they're single, that person wants their thoughts respected, no matter how stupid they are, and they want their feelings cherished, no matter how obnoxious they are. I tell those people, those narcissistic 10s, go to a local codependency meeting and wait and listen to the person who can't get it. Because that person is your 0. That person has so little self-respect, self-esteem, self-love, that they need to be with a 10 person like yourself. On the other hand, if you really want to be in an equitable, sharing relationship of intimacy, the 4 of you, remember there are 4 people in every 2-person relationship. There are 2 respectable people and 2 cherishable people that are going to negotiate how to trade off equitably. And that's where you get intimacy. Do I want to be respected more or less than I want to be cherished for my feelings? That's the question. The question to ask yourself, as I just mentioned, is, do I want to be respected or cherished? Which is my priority? Now, what is this respectability and cherishability? We've talked about the brain differences. We've talked about respectability in the way of a word, but I want to go into it a little bit more right now. Respectability is a real need on the part of a human being to have their thoughts listened to, maybe not obeyed, but at least listened to without interruption, without confrontation, without negation. That person, when they receive respect, will automatically feel cherished. Many, many young men want to be respected more than they want to be cherished. As men get older, they start valuing cherishing more. Grandpa is often more lovable and cherishable than grandma, who says, "Get your feet off the coffee table." And dad was a little bit tougher. Grandma, on the other hand, is really getting into her male toughness, whereas mom was a mushy that you could con and cajole and intimidate into letting you stay up when dad was gone, whatever. So each person at different places in their lives needs respect or cherishing more or less. Most young women feel better if they're cherished, unless they're narcissistic. Then they want both cherishing and respect. Masculinity is that giving, protecting, and cherishing that wants to be with somebody who wants to receive, be available, and respects them. Cherishing. What is this business of cherishing? Cherishing is much different than being loved. It is easy to love a baby in clean diapers. It takes real cherishing to love a baby in dirty ones. In today's world, all of us want to be respected. And that's normal. We have bills to pay and problems to solve. A woman has that strength within her now, that anchor within her, that causes her to go out and say, "I don't need a man, but I do want one." A man, on the other hand, has the sensitivity today with the men's liberation movement. He does not want to be seen only as a provider. He wants his feelings cherished as well. In today's world, the biggest issue that I see for intimacy is for women not to understand what cherishing means. To too many women, cherishing looks like subservience. It looks like doormat. It looks like you're going to be giving away your hard-found, newly emerging, liberated power. The truth of the matter is, if you can do things better for yourself than the man you're with, for heaven's sakes, cherish yourself. But if you're with a man who you respect, who gives to you, who protects you in the way that makes you feel safe and secure, then I strongly suggest that you be a cherish-able, love-able woman. What does it look like? It looks like non-confrontation. Don't be fighting him. If he says, "I'll pick you up at 7, don't say to him, "Pick me up at 7:30. That's not very respecting, and he's not going to cherish you very well for doing it. Men who want respect often have difficulty cherishing women who want the same thing. And that's one of the major issues between men and women. Today, women who want to be cherished, given to, and protected for their sensitivity are becoming very disenchanted, competing with men who are so female that they also want to be given to, protected, and cherished. It's like, "I'm the girl. No, I'm the girl. No, I'm the girl." He shows up for the dinner and he's dressed like he just fell off a truck. You know how things are. He somehow forgot his plastic at home, and could you lend him a dollar or two? That is absolutely not what a cherishable woman wants. Just as a man who has planned a lovely evening does not want his design to be rebuilt by some intelligent woman that has a better restaurant, a better time, a better way, nor do women who want to be cherished want their feelings disregarded by men who want their feelings taken care of. Peter Pan is not what today's woman wants if she wants to be cherished. He is, however, the darling of the powerful woman. The powerful masculine woman loves Peter Pan, takes him home, dresses him, lends him the car, borrows and lends the money. They fit perfectly. You have to decide, do you want to be cherished or do you want to be respected? I need one of each. I need one Fred Astaire and I need one Ginger Rogers. Two Freds slam dance. Two Gingers wallflower and stare at each other. If I've got one Fred and one Ginger, by the way, this works in a gay relationship. This works in a lesbian relationship. It works in any relationship. Each person must decide their major asset and what they're willing to equitably give to get it. If you want to be respected, expect the other person to want to be cherished. If you want to be cherished, expect that your intimate partner will probably want to be respected. And remember, Ginger does everything Fred does, backwards, in high heels, and in a long dress. So a lot of today's women are not too comfortable being cherished and feminine. And a lot of men are getting very comfortable being Ginger. Make your choice. All right, now we're going to make our chosen commitment. For all of you out there, whether you're driving in a car, for heaven's sakes, don't take both hands off. I only need one finger, actually. I want you to take a pledge. But before you take the pledge, I want you to decide right now, do you rather have your thoughts respected by your intimate partner, whether it's a man or a woman, whether it's a straight relationship or gay or lesbian? Would you rather have your thoughts respected or your feelings cherished? Or the reverse, would you rather have your feelings cherished or your thoughts respected? For those of you who have chosen the feminine, the anima in a woman, or the receptive, available, and respect the giver person, here's what your pledge is. I promise, on my honor, to respect the male person I'm with that I have chosen to follow, even when I know I'm smarter and I know I could do it better. So help me God, please. Now, for those of you who wish to have your thoughts respected more than you want your feelings cherished, I have a pledge for you. Now, don't take both hands off. I only need one. Put the phone down. Let's get with it. Put your hand up, or at least one finger. I promise, on my honor, to cherish the feminine person I'm with, whether it's a man or a woman, even when they're illogical, irrational, and often irritating. So help me God, please.
You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen, Empowered Communication, right here on LA Talk Radio.